The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Silverov Studios. Welcome to our top stories this hour. And yes, that business tax for drug addicts, it is our top story.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
I just got a text from a listener from the 206. Hey, Dory, search Amazon for Kashama Sawant. That stinking commie hypocrite is trying to peddle her book on the evil empire that she says is Amazon. And so I did. I went to Amazon, and for $9.99, you can get the Kindle edition of American Socialist by Kashama Sawant. So she doesn't mind using Amazon to peddle her swill. Where can we find out the rankings? Don't they have where a book is ranked in number of sales? Do they have that on Amazon somewhere?
I can look.
But I think if there is one, you probably just moved it up a notch just by mentioning it.
Oh, I'm sure I did. Well, you know what? I'd like to make her a few bucks. I'd like to help her out any way that I can. Because she only has a half million equity in her Leschi house. I don't know what she got from her six-figure Microsoft ex-husband. I know that she's the organization she donates to pays her husband, so her donations come back to her in the form of spousal salary. But if I can make her a couple of extra bucks. But yeah, I'd like to find out where the book is ranked.
There's no reviews as of now, so she has no stars, no reviews.
What?
Go figure.
Oh, it's coming out on September 3rd. Wait a second. The publication date is September 3rd of 2019?
Whoa.
Who?
So she has a book deal, but it's just not been published.
In a year and... Oh, wait a second. Bestseller rank. Here it is. Let's see. Under communism and socialism, it's ranked number 3,807 in the Kindle store. Under political, it's ranked 8,592nd. But it's coming out in September of 2019. What does it take a year and a half to write a book?
She's been busy.
Oh, yeah. She's been busy, all right. So I was out doing a couple of other things during the newscast. So what's going on right now with the tinder box, the powder keg that is Seattle?
I think that's a typo. It was out in 17.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, that's not what it says on Amazon.
I know.
Well, maybe they're trying to sabotage her book there. We should charge them with a crime. So what's going on this afternoon?
So there are a couple of things. One is there's a second hearing. They had a regularly... scheduled committee meeting, and now they're calling it a special meeting because it's going to be all about the proposed business tax.
Okay.
So that's going on, while there's also Mike Lewis is out there, and he said there are about 200, I think mostly members of trade unions.
Okay.
And they are going to be marching/protesting the head tax.
So she's lost the labor unions. And then meanwhile, I mentioned
Well,
this.
I don't think all the unions are all in agreement. Because
no, they're not.
Yeah, because there was that letter that was sent.
Yeah, so Ursula mentioned this. I mentioned it right before the top of the hour. So a union-backed activist group called Working Washington, they are comparing Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos to a subprime mob boss lording it over a company town. They say that there's a state law making it illegal to threaten politicians and other public employees with bodily harm or other damages, including financial harm. So they are calling on Attorney General, and I swear, this is like The Onion. Seattle News is like The Onion. We could not possibly make this stuff up. They're asking Attorney General Bob Ferguson to charge Amazon with a Class B felony for intimidating a public servant. In this letter, they wrote, We believe there is abundant evidence Amazon has broken the law, and we urge you to investigate and prosecute Amazon for this serious crime. The business and financial condition of the corporate person of the city of Seattle, in order to pressure the city council, they say that it's an illegal act by Amazon. Just, there's insanity right now. It really is.
Well, former Attorney General Rob McKenna thinks it's absurd, and we're still waiting to get comment from Bob Ferguson.
And I saw a letter in the Seattle Times from two former Seattle mayors saying the head tax is ridiculous. One was Tim Burgess and then Greg Nichols. But I'm going to withhold my opinion until I hear what the accused child rapist thinks about the head tax. So I won't know what to think until I hear that. And then I had a caller right before the top of the hour. And his theory was that Sawant wants to kill business in Seattle because then people will leave and that'll drive down housing prices. And I disagree with that because I don't think she cares about housing prices. I don't think she cares how many people are in shelter. My theory, and I mean this quite seriously, and I know it's rather conspiratorial, but I was just reading last night that there are, have you heard about the district attorney elections that are going on around the country? And George Soros is pouring, in the case of San Diego, he is pouring $1 million into a district attorney race.
Really?
And Soros is doing this in cities all around the United States, not in Washington State. But in every case, the DA candidate that Soros is backing is pushing for relaxed drug laws. They want less people in jail. And it's a pretty radical person that is being endorsed and backed to the tune of $1 million in San Diego by Soros. And I believe that there is a very active among the Soros types, which Sawant certainly is in that camp. I think that there is a very active effort to destabilize law and order in this country. I think that there, you know, drug legalization, we have that essentially in both King and Snohomish County, where you can use heroin in public in front of a cop, nothing will happen to you. Soros is behind the heroin death site up in Vancouver, B.C., and has been pushing for drug legalization for years. We now have that in King and Snohomish County. And I think that the candidate in San Diego is pushing for no bail, that if somebody is awaiting trial, they don't have to post any bail. That's one of the planks in her platform.
They just walk out?
They just walk out on their own recognizance.
Hmm.
Yeah. And so I think that there is, among the radical left, there is a very active effort around the country. And please, I would welcome everybody to check out what's happening in DA races in San Diego and around the country, backed by Soros. But Sawant's in that camp, and I think that there is a very active effort underway to destabilize basic law and order in this country. And so that's my theory as to what's going on with Sawant. I think that she just wants as much under government control as possible. She, of course, is part of the No Youth Jail. If you murder somebody or you rape somebody and you're 14 years old, you shouldn't do a second in jail, in her mind, and certainly in the Soros-backed candidates' minds. So I think it's much more evil and insidious than just driving down housing prices. What's going on here? That's my theory. If you are just joining us, I have lots of audio to share with you. A great interview this morning by our friend Brandy Cruz at Q13 with Sawant. And in one of the sound bites, you hear the manic ravings of a lunatic. And I know that that sounds hyperbolic, but I want you to listen to how fast she's talking, how nonsensical she is. She keeps talking about the $20 million that Amazon would pay and the $75 million that business in total would pay. She keeps talking about it as pocket change. And listen to the ravings of Sawant earlier today on Q13.
Is Amazon financially capable of holding those jobs, continuing the construction and not holding those jobs hostage and paying the pocket change tax that we are demanding that they pay? $20 million is pocket change.
Of course,
there's no argument
afford.
About it.
Of course, yes, they can afford.
Yes,
look.
Okay, $20 million is pocket change. You know, tuck that one away. Hear how many times more she says it in the course of a couple minutes here. But that can only be said by a Seattle politician. We've squandered over $1 billion on the drug addiction issue around here. We have more drug addicts on the streets than ever before after spending $1 billion. And so, of course, to someone like Sawant, who's been part of that incredible waste of money, of course, $20 million is pocket change to her.
Are demanding that they pay $20 million is pocket change.
Of course,
there's no argument
afford.
About it.
Of course,
yes,
they can.
Yes,
afford.
So let me get to the next point. So if they can do it, but they're still threatening to hold those jobs hostage, that's extortion. Because it's, yes, of course, I understand that the richest man in the world has, you know, a few days ago, he said he has so much money that he doesn't know what to do with it and he's going to shoot it off to outer space.
Okay. Jeff Bezos never said that. He never said he has so much money, he doesn't know what to do with it, so he's going to shoot it off into outer space. He is passionate about space travel and exploration. He is funding some efforts in that regard. But in the mind of a lunatic, it's he has so much money, he's going to shoot it off into space. It really is disturbing to hear that this is somebody who's driving not only the public dialogue, but the financial future of this region.
As you know, a few days ago, he said he has so much money that he doesn't know what to do with it and he's going to shoot it off to outer space. 2 days later, he says, I'm not going to pay the pocket change tax. So I want your viewers to understand who's the enemy here. The enemy are not workers against workers. What Amazon is doing is a classic divide and rule strategy where they're putting one set of workers against another set of workers.
Okay, let's talk about this some more. If you had a contractor come over to your house and you said, I want to do an addition and my budget's $200,000. And they said, well, I can't do it for under $400,000. And you say, well, I'm not going to hire you then. Would that be extortion? Should you be prosecuted for that? Because that's essentially what Amazon has done. They've said, we don't want to pay all this money to an inefficient government, to a government that has no plan, a government that has no interest in helping the drug addiction problem that has caused this issue. They just want to build houses and let people shoot up heroin in those houses. And the other thing I want you to note, I'm going to back it up a few seconds, listen to how fast she's talking. There are some reasons why people talk very, very fast like this. Some of them are induced by outside forces, some things you ingest. Sometimes it happens from mental illness. But there's something very odd and off about how fast she's talking here.
What Amazon is doing is a classic divide and rule strategy where they're putting one set of workers against another set of workers. And my appeal to everybody watching there, if you depend on a paycheck to pay your rent, then let's understand that an injury to one is an injury to all. We have to stand together. And let's not accept the false dichotomy.
I got an email from a listener. And I have to keep interrupting this every once in a while because it would really hurt your brain if you had to listen to this uninterrupted. But you heard that quote that she just said there. Let me back it up a few seconds.
Then let's understand that an injury to one is an injury to all. We have to stand together.
I got a email from Todd who writes, greetings, I'm a longshoreman, ILWU Local 19 at the Port of Seattle. To hear that phony Sawant drop my ILWU slogan, an injury to one is an injury to all, during Brandy's interview disgusted me. She sure in the hell is not my sister in the labor movement, and the longshoremen here in Seattle sure in the hell are not her brothers and sisters. Sawant and the other city council members are pathetic. And that's from listener Todd.
And Let's not accept the false dichotomy between jobs and affordable housing. Working people need both decent union jobs and we need affordable cities. The problem with accepting Amazon's logic is that it's a race to the bottom in all cities. It's not just about Seattle. See, Amazon's threat is not just against Seattle. Amazon and Jeff Bezos' threat is against every city in the United States. They're sending a message.
Absolutely not true, because no other city in the United States has ever proposed a tax like Seattle is proposing. Never. Chicago did it at less than 10%, the proposed level in Seattle. Seattle used to do it at less than 5% of this proposed level, and that was a job killer. This is not a threat against every city in the country, because there is no other city in the United States as crazed politically as Seattle is right now. So that is yet another lie. I'm about a minute into the soundbite, and the number of lies is astounding.
In all cities, it's not just about Seattle. See, Amazon's threat is not just against Seattle. Amazon and Jeff Bezos' threat is against every city in the United States. They're sending a message that if you as working people have the temerity to tax us, even pocket change tax, then we will be bullies.
Pocket change again. $20 million is pocket change in her mind. Yeah, she's quite the economist.
We will be extortionists and we will hold jobs against you. The only way to fight against it is not to accept that, but to actually fight back against it. Let me give you a counter example.
Listen to her. It's incredible. The pace at which she's lying.
Is not to accept that, but to actually fight back against it. Let me give you a counter example. When we were fighting for $15 an hour, the same businesses, including Ethan's Towel and Dick's Drive-In and so on, were saying this will be apocalyptic, we can't do this. If we had accepted that, what would have happened? Wages would have languished. Instead, what happened was that the $15 an hour went nationwide. We won $15 in LA, DC.
Another lie. Because, as the University of Washington study proved, commissioned by the Seattle City Council, $15 an hour has led to less take-home pay for the lowest-income workers. Their hourly rate went up. Their number of hours worked has gone down to more than counterbalance the increase in pay. And so $15 an hour has hurt the lowest income workers. Yet another lie being spewed by Sawant today.
See, Minneapolis, a number of other cities, and became a national issue. So what we do to fight the race to the bottom is to fight to get working people everywhere demanding better living conditions.
Okay. And she is hurting the conditions of the lowest wage workers. She is a cancer in Seattle right now. And let me just give you one more soundbite. This is from one of the speakers who was on Sawant's side at the meeting earlier today.
I don't see that anybody who is opposing this is going to die on the streets or not be able to pay their mortgage or not be able to wear new shoes or clean clothes. My goal is to come here and let you folks know that it's important that we take a little bit of tax from the greedy and give it to those who need it the most.
The lack of self-awareness there is rather astounding. To say that someone else should give away their money, that is as greedy as you can get. There's nothing charitable or philanthropic. You give your own money, that's charitable. You tell somebody else, hey, you give him your money, and the person you're taking the money from is greedy? No, you are greedy for desiring somebody else's money. This speaker is the greedy one. Seattle is a bizarre place right now. That's your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I gotta get to some other stuff. And we will in our awesome audio clips of the day coming up next.
Some folks like to get away. Take a holiday from the neighborhood.
Trying to figure out why.
Hop a flight to Miami Beach or to Hollywood.
Why?
It was actually because of me, but it's his birthday today. So I just thought we'd give a little Billy Joel shout out.
Today's Billy Joel's birthday?
Yes.
Oh,
we had
birthday,
a listener
Billy.
Tell us that.
I didn't know that.
And really, there's you can play Billy Joel at any time. You don't need
absolutely
a reason.
Absolutely. No, I know. I was just wondering if it was thematic, and I just found out my answer. A listener asked a fair question with all my rantings against this head tax. They asked if Cairo and Bonneville would be affected by it, and I believe the answer is no. I certainly have not heard. I do not think we are one of the 500 biggest revenue companies in Seattle. We're the biggest.
But I guess
in the
radio business. If you were to take the argument that some people are making that it doesn't just affect the very maybe.
Oh, yeah.
In an indirect way, we are affected.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. If it does have the kind of regional economic impact, we all remember what it was like back in 2008, 2009. It was tough in every industry, in every business across the board. And if we become the next Detroit, or worse than Detroit, as I think is feasible, then we would certainly be impacted. But so would everybody in the area.
And we pay our bills, obviously, by our commercials.
Yes, of course.
So if there's less spending money, there will be less spending money on commercials.
And then another listener, Rebecca, writes, get ready, East Side. The homeless brigade is coming your way. We've lived in the same Bellevue neighborhood for 50 years and now have a homeless person living in his car at the end of our driveway. The area is not far from the Microsoft campus. He just added a stolen shopping cart to his collection. He urinates on private property and was caught late at night sneaking into a neighbor's backyard. Bellevue police have done nothing but make him move his car a couple feet every 72 hours. He just moves it up and down the same street. Bellevue, you better get a game plan in place. And that's from Rebecca. And yes, this is certainly a regional issue. I talked to the guy from Burien last hour. And on it goes. All right, with all of that as mere prelude, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Okay, at number three, you hear about Huey Lewis?
It's so sad, yes.
Huey Lewis, I'm a big fan of his music. In fact, the reason I became such a fan of the band The Police is because of Huey Lewis.
Really?
Yeah, because I think it was 82 or 83, I wanted to see Huey Lewis at the Seattle Center Coliseum, and he was opening for The Police. And I didn't know anything about The Police at the time. Huey Lewis was fantastic, but then The Police, they just blew me away.
I mean, our college years would not have been the same without Huey Lewis.
Did you bump up that song? You got the song I requested?
Oh, sorry.
I didn't see that.
Bump up the audio.
Yeah, I need the song. Yeah, so Huey Lewis just canceled his 2000, and he seems to have life figured out. He always seems like a pretty happy guy. He plays golf all the time. He just seems pretty happy-go-lucky.
But as happy as he is, I bet he would wish that this thing were not happening. I mean, maybe he just presents really well because it's devastating what's happening to him.
So Huey Lewis just announced that he's canceling his 2018 tour because he's going deaf. And he talked to the Today Show about this.
Number three.
As I walked to the stage, it sounded like there was a jet engine going on. I knew something was wrong. I couldn't find pitch. Distorted nightmare. The bass goes. It's literally noise. It's cacophony. Even though I can hear you, we can talk. I can talk on the phone, but I can't sing. I can't hear music. And so, I can do everything but what I love to do the most.
Yeah.
Which is a drag.
Now, you've had a lifetime of wearing headphones, and there are a lot of people in the radio biz, and I know my hearing's bad.
Yeah, my hearing's definitely on my left, because I have one headphone on, always on my left ear, and my left ear is not doing so great.
See, I love, my wife and I love going to plays, and I like the musicals and all that. I cannot make out words when I go to a play. If we go to the Paramount or something, I have a real tough time. I can't even understand what's being said half the time.
Oh, and I have the same problem. That's exactly the same.
And my hearing is much better than a lot of our calls. I mean, if I go in a studio and I follow like Dave Ross and put on headphones or Don O'Neill, they have them cranked up to 11.
Yeah.
And
I mean, you do blow out your eardrums. Here's the beauty is there are things that can help you hear better. And I'm just not ready yet. Mm-hmm. But I do know that when it comes to that point, there are things that can help.
Oh, yeah.
He has tinnitus, and that drowns out. I have tinnitus, and that drowns out a ton of sound. So even though I can hear you talking to me and things like this, but I totally understand what he says by it just drowns out everything.
Oh.
Yeah, here's his message to fans.
I want to say I'm sorry. Clearly, we're not spring chickens. But I've always prided myself on being reliable. I'm not the greatest singer in the world, but I'm reliable. And I've canceled 5 gigs in my life in 40 years, maybe. I just feel terrible about that. And I really feel bad for my guys, you know, my team. We've been doing this for so many years.
Yeah, the news. The news is really good. And what their first big hit... Asked for.
Yes, it's in there now.
This isn't the first big hit.
I know. Refresh.
Crying out loud. It was one of the first big MTV hits. I love this song. Oh, yeah. You know this one?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, college would not have been the same.
I know. This was... Man, I watched a lot of MTV when it first went on the air. Awful lot. Tell you what, let me take a real quick time out here, and then I'll get to our numbers 2 and 1. Awesome audio. More comments on the madness in Seattle today. All of that straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a day. I was just telling Nicole during the commercial break, there's a chant, and down the stretch they come. I just need a couple of days to play the ponies. That's what I need. To escape the madness.
Days?
Yeah.
Well, did you play last weekend? Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, you heard.
Oh, no, I wasn't here on Monday, so I didn't get your reaction.
Oh, on Twitter. I put it out Saturday morning, my trifecta pick, and it was a $100 ticket, and it hit, and it paid $757.
Nice work.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I need, though. I need just a couple of days.
Well, you just had one of those days.
So. No, you know what I want to do? I want to take a couple of weekdays off. I don't know when, but and I want to go to some tiny track like in upstate New York, Finger Lakes. I want to go to some place like Finger Lakes where there are only a few hundred people in the grandstand and I can just sit with my racing form. And
But I don't let you take vacation.
I know.
Unless you're going to have an appendectomy.
Yeah.
Although we should do another day at the track here for our audience. That was fun.
Yeah, we can do that. We probably will. We'll see. We'll see about something like that. But no, I'm just talking about getting away. That'd be a fun little getaway. Especially if it was a rainy day in upstate New York.
Rain?
With, a sloppy track. I'm under the grandstand. It's
more interesting.
It's raining, but it's still about 80 degrees. It's kind of muggy. And I could just sit by myself and handicap a day's race. Doesn't that sound wonderful?
Okay.
Just sounds fantastic to me.
I mean, I'd rather be in Mexico in the sun by a pool.
Okay, left off in the middle of our awesome audio. It's time for number 2. And boy, I love this. Donald Trump, I don't know if you know this, he's the president of the United States now. And he was asked today because 3 prisoners, American prisoners in North Korea, have been released. I love that he got out of the Iran deal because Iran is such a, I mean, the biggest sponsor of terror. And there were a couple of Trump sound bites today that I just found fun. Here we go.
Number 2.
Let's start with the announcement on Twitter that we're getting out of the Iran deal that it was a horrible deal that the Obama administration struck with that terror regime.
The Iran deal is defective at its core. If we do nothing, we know exactly what will happen. In just a short period of time, the world's leading state sponsor of terror will be on the cusp of acquiring the world's most dangerous weapon. At the heart of the Iran deal is a giant fiction that a murderous regime desired only a peaceful nuclear energy program. Therefore, I am announcing today that the United States will withdraw from the Iran nuclear deal. We will not allow a regime that chants death to America to gain access to the most deadly weapons on Earth. The United States no longer makes empty threats.
No longer makes empty threats. And then he was asked at a press availability about whether he deserves the Nobel Peace Prize because there may be a denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
Do you deserve the Nobel Prize, Peter?
Everyone thinks so, but I would never say it. You know what I want to do?
Everyone thinks so, but I would never say it.
I want to get it finished. The prize I want is victory for the world, not for even here. I want victory for the world because that's what we're talking about. So that's the only prize I want.
And then at number one, the history made last night as James Paxton became the sixth Mariner ever to throw a no-hitter.
Number one.
It almost felt like it was meant to be. You know, just there was a weird feeling out there.
Anthony Alford leads it off with a swing and a pop-up down the right field line. Foul ground on the run. Haniger is there, and he makes the catch. One pitch and one away.
Ninth inning came around, and we just went right after him.
The 0-2 on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Strikeout number seven for James Paxton. He is one out away from Mariners history.
Our guys were locked in. They knew what was happening. Anything that anybody could get close to, get their glove on, they're going to do anything they can to make the play.
Here's the windup and the 0-2 pitch. Swing and a one-hop and a third.
That last play of the game, Kyle made me, that ball was smoked.
Seager's got it. Toss across. Ball game is over. James Paxton has just thrown a no-hitter. The big lefty is getting mobbed out of the mound.
Pretty amazing. I mean, it's very special to do this thing in Canada. I mean, there couldn't have been a better place.
Let's talk about one of the guys that just does everything right, just goes about his business, just an unbelievable worker. I mean, I couldn't be happier for him right now.
These guys made plays behind me all night, and this really belongs to them, too.
Well, hopefully we got some more big moments ahead for this ball club.
You couldn't write this stuff.
Nice job by James Paxton and Lydia Cruz, 710 ESPN, who put that together. And that is going to do it for us. We will keep chronicling the insanity, the crazy train of Seattle that keeps rolling by us every afternoon. Ron and Don Show's coming up next, and I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon.
I will not have this in my studio. You have failed conclusively. It's over. And there is nothing that you can do here in this room that can turn that around. Nothing you can do that can make up for what you just did.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.